Beautifully done. Thank you. In a convent in Ireland, there was a 99-year-old mother superior who lay quietly. Unfortunately, she was dying, and the nuns had gathered around her, and they were laying garlands around her and trying to make her journey into the next life as comfortable as they could. So they decided they were going to try to give her a glass of warm milk. And as they did, she declined it. She wasn't interested. So one of the nuns took the milk down to the kitchen and remembered that there was a bottle of Irish whiskey that was given to them the previous Christmas. So she added a rather goodly portion to it and took it back up, and they got the Mother Superior to raise up a little bit, and they gave her a sip of it, and she drank more of it and more of it and more of it till she'd finally drank the whole glass, and she seemed a little bit brighter and a little bit more alive, and so she raised up on one of her elbows, and they decided to ask her a question. So they said, "We would just like to have some of your last thoughts, some words of wisdom that maybe you could give us before you enter into the next life." And she looked up and feebly said, "Don't sell the cow." When God invites us into his presence to pray, what do we do? What do we think about? What's the first maybe thought that goes through our mind? And the first one might be, not another message about prayer. You know, I've heard enough of those. Or we might just think, I know I need to pray more, but I don't know how. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to ask. I don't need somebody to tell me to pray more. Well, let me assure you, that's not why I'm here. And that's not what the purpose of this message is. We are called to talk to God because that's what he wants us to do. So if you feel a bit condemned about it, or you feel like you don't pray enough or you haven't prayed enough, put that in the past and think about moving forward. And think about, what can I do tomorrow different, or maybe even today different than I've been doing in the past? And we all see advertisements and we all see things about the need for exercise. How many commercials have you seen for a Bowflex? Treadmills. How many times do you look around and see a new gym going up somewhere? I see advertisements for, I think it's Lifetime Fitness. You can join, what, for $1 and $10 a month? We haven't joined. But we see those. And our bodies need physical exercise. Now, some limitations that we have, and we can't do a lot of those. Some people can't do a lot of things. But those that can should. And the same thing is really true with our spiritual mind, that it needs exercise. It needs to read, it needs to pray, or it'll become as weak as a person's physical body that sits and watches TV all day and tries to figure out who's the next bachelorette, or who's going to win the next reality, who's going to marry who on a reality show, or who's going to win Survivor. Cindy will attest to the fact that I have never watched one of those shows, because I always tell her that one was probably filmed in New York or filmed somewhere. No. But our spirit as well as our mind needs to be exercised. And if we want the best from God, we need to be willing to put forth a little bit of exercise. We need to be willing to talk to him. We need to be willing to read a little bit of what he's written. And I actually broke out a King James Bible this morning. You can see it hasn't been used much. But there's a couple scriptures in here, and the way it says it, I think, is really, it really comes to the point. But if a person's out looking for a job and needs a new job, they're not going to sit around and wait for somebody to call them if they've never put in an application anywhere. They're not going to sit around and wait for somebody to call and offer them $150,000 a year. But they're going to go out and seek that, and they're going to go out and look for that. And so the same thing is really true in our to develop our spiritual strength is we need to go out and we need to seek it, and we need to look for it, and we need to develop it, and we need to work for it. There's some interesting principles that I saw this week and I thought were interesting. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery, which you were once removed from." Just don't make a great long list of expectations that are so rigorous that we can't keep them. Because when we do that, we get into legalism. And we get into everything that we want to avoid. We don't want to become burdened down with a lot of things that we need to do. But what we want to do is find things that bring us freedom. It may be driving down the road, praying. There's nothing wrong with that. It might be the first thing you do when you wake up a morning and you're laying in bed. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to put my feet on the ground and to stand up and to go about doing what you have called me to do. Doing what we're doing to fit into what his purpose is. So don't make it burdensome. But we do need some structure. And we do need a plan. People that are trying to lose weight have a plan. Some people might like Atkins. Some people might like Weight Watchers. But there's a plan. And so they follow the plan. If they follow the plan successfully, they get slim and trim. Obviously, I am not on a plan. But if you did, then it would work. The same thing's true with what God is saying us, that he's saying for us is to lay out a plan. And I think that plan involves what Jim shared about and what Jim read about. There were three words that he said: ask, seek, and knock. I saw this week. I thought it was interesting. It was a Presbyterian minister back in the 1600s, and he said this. He said, pray often. Pray with sincerity and seriousness. Pray, and pray again. Make conscious of prayer and be constant in it. Make it a business of prayer. Be earnest in it. I don't know that I necessarily agree with this statement, but he said, ask as a beggar asks alms. Those that would be rich in grace must betake themselves to the poor trade of begging, and then they shall make it a thriving trade. Ask as a traveler asks the way. To pray is to inquire of God. Seek is a thing of value that we have lost. Or as a merchant man seeks pearls. Seek by prayer, knock, as he who desires to enter the house. And I agree with the majority of the statement, but I don't think God expects us to come begging to him. But I think there are people that think he does. Because if he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, he doesn't say come begging. Begging is almost like pleading. And so what I see him doing, and it's kind of like a father. How many of us as fathers ever had our children beg for something? You know, if it was good and we thought it was benefit them, we would give it to them. If we thought it was going to harm them, we probably shouldn't give it to them. But the idea, I think, Henry is trying to say here is we want to be sincere. We want to we want to be, I don't know if there's a better word than sincere in what we're looking for and what we're asking for. He says, then he goes on to say, once we ask, we must further seek to find the answer. And it goes back to the person looking for a job. They're going to get out and they're going to hopefully put in resumes. They're going to talk to people. They're going to make their, you know, their self known. They're going to interface with people. Could be through the internet. It could be face-to-face. It could be many different ways. But they're going to get out and they're going to look for that opportunities and they're going to seek that. And so they're knocking. And a lot of times we have to knock. Sometimes when we ask, it's not good enough when we need to knock. But the knocking, I think, is part of the perseverance of what he's saying. And I think knocking also has to do with thanking him for what he's done. Henry also went on to say, never forget after the door opens to offer a word of thanks. And I think that's important, that we do that. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. It doesn't say ask and it'll be loaned to you. He doesn't say ask and you can buy it. But he says it'll be given. It goes back to what I think I said in the beginning of the services. It is receiving and believing, or believing and receiving, for what God has already done for us. The verse says, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But we have to be patient sometimes with our requests. There's a parable told in Luke chapter 11. And it has to do with a person that's on a journey and they go and knock on a door. And suppose a friend, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread for a friend of mine who is on a journey. He's just come to visit me and I have nothing to serve him. From inside he answers, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything just because he is your friend, yet because of his persistence and boldness, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. And that's why I think what Matthew Henry said is wrong when he says we need to beg. God says we need to ask boldly. And we direct those prayers, we direct those expectations for God for what we want him to do, sometimes for what we expect him to do. And then we allow him to bless us. I once read a story of a man who, and I think I may have shared this before, that was went into heaven and he's walking by this building with all these doors in it, and there's one with his name over it. And he asked, he says, what's that? And they opened the door and took him in and they said, it's all the blessings that were for you on earth that you never asked for. So much stuff that we miss and so many things that we miss because we fail to ask for them. And so God's like our earthly father, only he's better. If we ask our earthly father for something and it's going to harm us, he won't give it to us. If we ask our earthly father or our grandfather for something, I'm thinking of you, Bruce, for something and we think it's going to harm one of our grandchildren, we won't do it. Sometimes we ask God for things and he delays them. He delays them because he knows we're not able to handle what we want at that time. Sometimes he delays it because he's trying to get somebody else to take care of that prayer that you're praying for you through them. And sometimes he has to get them in the mood. Sometimes he has to get them moving. So I think what we're saying here is when we pray, we should pray regularly. Jesus didn't say when you pray, but he said at all times when you pray, ask. Pray privately. God's not impressed with public piety, and I know we don't normally ask people to pray in the church here. I grew up in a church that they did, and somebody was always giving the dismissal prayer. I sat in staff meetings at Cornerstone, and we would there'd be sitting around the table, and every time somebody was at, you know, was said, who will offer a prayer, everybody looked down at the table. I mean, that's the way we are. Sometimes we're shy, sometimes you don't know what to ask for, but he said, don't make it a public thing, but make it a personal thing. Speak from the heart. What's on our hearts? What's troubling us? A lot of requests that were shared today, that's what troubles us. God, intercede there. That's a prayer. But God, show me what I can do to help that person along. What can I do to encourage them? Well, that's a prayer. Because it's sincere. It's what can I do? Specifically, who's it for? And what's the need? I think that's what he's asking for, because a lot of people pray in generalities, and unfortunately we often end up in times of trial and times of tragedy when we want to pray for somebody, when we need to speak to somebody, when we're going through grief, when we sense some kind of heartbreak, some kind of loneliness, and that's when we begin to pray. And he's saying, I want you to do that. I want you to talk to me before you get into that situation. Let me answer the prayer before the need ever arrives. And that happens a lot of times when we pray for people. The Holy Spirit will tell us things, will show us things that we need to be aware of and we need to be conscious of. And sometimes we just miss those. There's a couple verses here in Matthew that I wanted to share with you. And I thought it was interesting the way it's worded here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's no conditions. He just says, ask. And then in Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, and Jim read this earlier, and doubt not, ye shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but it is also shall do unto the mountain. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. What he's saying is that if we believe, then we receive. He doesn't say we receive and then we believe, although we would like it to be that way. It sure be simpler if God answered a prayer and we saw it, and then it'd be easier to believe. But that's not the principle. The principle is believe and receive. David wrote, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth, without guile. Psalm 40, verse 1 said, I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Bill Hybels, used to be the pastor of Willow Creek up in Chicago, outside of Chicago, he said this. He says, God and I used to be rather casually acquainted with one another. We didn't get together and shoot the breeze all that often. But now we engage in substantial soul-searching conversations for a good chunk of every morning. So prayer can change circumstances. Prayer can improve relationships. Prayer can provide for our families. It can take care of our needs that are there. Prayer can give us power to do the work that God has called us to do, because without prayer, we can do nothing. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do nothing. We all face daily struggles. Prayer helps us get through that. Someone said, and I thought it was interesting, that when we pray, we pray. When we work, we work. But when we pray sincerely, God works. And I think that's the key to it, that we need to set a plan of what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. It's not if it's 5 minutes. Don't be convicted about what you haven't done. Don't let Satan condemn us about what we haven't done. But let's be encouraged by what we can do and how that we can prepare ourselves to do his work, to do the ministry that he's called us to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us the ability to speak, the ability to talk to one another, the ability to talk to you. And so, Lord, help us. If we've not had a structured, planned prayer time, that we set aside some time daily and just have that one-on-one, shoot-the-breeze conversation that Bill Hybels talked about. That we can just talk back and forth. And I can tell you what's on my heart. I can tell you what's troubling me, what's bothering me. And then I can be encouraged that you're going to show me the answer. Whether it's through your word, whether it's the assurance and of your Holy Spirit speaking to my inner being, telling me what to do. Or it could be you just audibly saying, I need you to do this. But I believe, Lord, that if you tell us, you empower us. And so help us find some time. Talk to you when you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.